Welcome to the Survival Prepper Show, where being labeled a crazy prepper is a badge of honor. Learn about disaster preparedness, survival, and get ready for whatever challenges might come your way. This is not your typical prepping podcast, and they won't be silenced by the censors. Here are your hosts, Duff and Dale.
Hey there, everyone. Welcome to the show. Sorry we're a little bit late. It's Murphy's Law every time, man. It's always something new. Always something different. But anyway, how's everybody doing? A lot of people in the chat already. That's kind of cool for a Wednesday. Tonight, we've got... I got a few things I want to talk about. One is the total complete bonkers rhetoric around the gun control crap. And we got a few things other than this, but the other one is this, and I guess we can, instead of doing my typical, hey Brian, how you doing, what's going on new out there and all that bullshit, we'll just get right into the show this week, unless you actually do have something new going on. No?
No, I think we're good. Let's just do it.
All right. But anyway, I got a couple emails from Tiger in the chat. Which brought up something really interesting. You had mentioned it last week with the DEF liquid that goes in diesel fuel. And along with that, a few weeks ago, I had talked about the trains and the fertilizer shortage and all of that. So with all of this stuff, I wanted to talk about this today because it kind of brings all of that together as far as when you're talking about the food shortages, you're talking about fuel shortages, all of that stuff. I wrote some notes down because this gets kind of hard to kind of explain. And I didn't get all of Tiger's email and all that stuff because just a whole lot of stuff. But I did write these notes down. And basically, and you can expand on it if you want, but diesel exhaust fuel is DEF. And this kind of explains why that matters. You briefly talked about it last week, but every diesel truck that's been made since 2010 is required to use it. It's made up of 67% urea fertilizer. Russia is the largest exporter of urea by a wide margin. Qatar is second, Egypt, China are tied for third. Both Russia and China no longer export urea, the fertilizer. And the United States, of course, just like everything else, we import most of our urea fertilizer. So the pilot travel centers, which is the Flying J, we don't have Flying J's out here. I suppose those are gas stations or something, but they're owned by Pilot. Pilot Travel Centers is the largest service provider for truckers around the United States. Flying J gets 70% of its DEF fluid via Union Pacific Railroad. Union Pacific Railroad just ordered Pilot Travel Centers to cut their shipments by 50% or face embargoes. So basically be cut off. Pilot's chief executive told the U.S. Surface Transportation Board the restrictions would prevent the company from keeping many markets supplied and triggering shortages and stuff like that. And I've got a video I want to play of him talking about that. But do you have any thoughts on that? Does that kind of explain what that crap is and why? If they're cutting this stuff off, if they're telling them to cut their production by 50%, which actually 70% goes by rail, so it'd be 35% that they're cutting off, that could affect a whole bunch of different markets.
Yeah. No, I think the DEF fluid, I just went to Walmart yesterday and I got the last five, maybe six, 2.5 gallon things of DEF fluid they had on the shelves. So I don't know if they're getting more. I'm sure, you know, maybe. I don't know about the Union Pacific thing, ordering Pilot to cut all its rail shipment, you know, and I don't know why in there. So I know there's an email, and this is based on an email that's been going around. I think a lot of the stuff in the email is factual. And then the farther in the email it goes, the more it gets into like, you know, this person working for this company is doing this, BlackRock or Blackstone and all that stuff. But, you know, that aside, there's a shortage of it. And I think where you get into it is right there at the top, right? Russia is the biggest reporter, Qatar second, Egypt and China. China's shutting down their stuff. We already know they're looking at not exporting. They're having problems. So I think, again, it's compounding all these problems. And the problem that you have with DEF is our stupid fucking government has made us put DEF fluid in the vehicles to help with diesel exhaust emissions, even though diesel fuel is like the cleanest diesel fuel has ever been.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like with my truck, if you're still set up for DEF and that's part of the computer and everything else in there, if you don't put DEF in it, when you run out of DEF, you can run for like another 500 miles at lower power, right? But eventually what happens is after a certain amount of time, your vehicle shuts down and you can't start it till you put fucking DEF in it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's a huge, huge impact across the board. And it's gone, not only is there hard to get, but it's gone up in price. You used to be able to get, they come in 2.5 gallon bottles or jugs, whatever you want to call it. And you used to be able to get that for around $8, maybe a little bit less, give or take, depending on what you bought. And now yesterday I saw some that was selling for $16. So not only is it with the reduced supply, the prices are going up.
Yeah. And I do have some stuff on that BlackRock thing, because like you said, that there is more of that. And that's what Tiger had sent me. I want to be just straight up right away. I haven't pulled as many strings as I wanted to on this. I have done some research. So the stuff on here, as far as I know, is true. The BlackRock stuff, as far as who works for the government and all that, I assume it is. I don't honestly know. But well, there's a bigger issue with that, I think. That I want to go into, but what are you going to say?
I crack up when I see these posts go around on Facebook and other places, because now it's like the right's like, well, look at these people, like the daughter of the CEO from BlackRock. My understand he actually isn't the CEO, but even if it is working in the White House, and his wife works there as the head of personnel. But it was all cool as school when Trump had his entire fucking family running through the White House.
Yeah.
You know, again, this is where it gets back to me with people like, dude, have a stance and fucking stick to it. Right? Well, stick to your position. Don't be upset with that. There are people that are there insiders working in the White House, and then be cool with the prior administration having insiders working in the White House.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
Yeah,
that's the problem across the board.
Yeah, it is. But I think there's a difference when you're talking about a corporation and just a dude, which kind of, I guess his family is the corporation. So it's kind of the same thing.
Dude, but his family's the corporation, right? Like at the end of nepotism is, I don't believe is ever good. I mean, you go back to, I mean, I don't know if you remember Billy Carter, Jimmy Carter's brother, right? You know, was in there and they had Billy Beer. And I mean, where I'm at in Georgia is near where Jimmy Carter is. I've passed his house every once in a while. And that you see like in the town there, because it's the biggest thing they ever had was, you know, Jimmy Carter being president. And you have, you know, they have Billy Carter's like gas station or where the hell it was he owned back in the day. At the end of the day, we shouldn't have nepotism going on in the government.
Yeah.
It's just not cool. You know, across the board, we shouldn't have nepotism going on.
I think the bigger nonstop issue to me anyway, though, is that it's corporations that have infected government. It's the like with this, with BlackRock and the, you know, BlackRock is known for the 2008 housing crisis. But that's basically when they exploded, because they helped get, you know, Goldman Sachs, and they took all these subprime loans and everything. And then they massively profited off of all that stuff. So and now they're in the government. You've got a lot of corporations that are in the government. Now BlackRock is so big, they're going to the World Economic Forum all the time. They're in Davos. They're doing all sorts of different things. So it's almost as if the, you know, the governments around the world and ours included are just kind of the puppets for these corporations. That's, you know, Anthony Blinken, you got whatever the other guy's name, Lloyd Austin, all of those. Yeah. Are people that were inserted because of corporate reasons and all that. And yeah, with that going on in government, we are looking at that multi-stakeholder model from the World Economic Forum. So,
well, the problem with that is, I mean, not the problem with that, where you're right. And it's not a new thing. This has been happening forever. That's the reason why we are not a democracy. And people want to say that we're a constitution, or, you know, we're a republic. We're not even a republic anymore. We're an oligarchy. An oligarchy is defined as a government in which a small group exercises control, especially for corrupt or selfish purposes. We are an oligarchy. We are no different than Russia. People want to say, oh, we're free, this and that. No, Putin's doing what the fuck he wants. The administration's doing what they want. We're literally, American citizens are getting crushed right now. And it's going to get a lot worse by the gas prices, fuel prices, the DEF fuel. There's a popcorn shortage. Do you really know that? Is there a popcorn shortage right now?
I heard something about that today. Yeah.
Yeah, there's a popcorn shortage right now.
There's a new shortage coming every
exactly.
day.
Exactly. More and more and more, right? And so we, the United States, is an oligarchy. I mean, look at what happened. Nancy Pelosi, and I don't give a shit that Nancy Pelosi's husband got nailed for a DUI. I mean, it happens to people. It happens to good people. Good people have lapses in judgment. I'm not saying that Nancy Pelosi's husband's a good person by a stretch of the imagination, because he's the one that's running all of her dirty financial dealings. And the media is not reporting on it. Why is that? Because we are an oligarchy.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I strongly encourage everybody to look up the term oligarchy. And whenever you start going, why is going on here? Read the term. Look at our government. We're an oligarchy.
Yeah. With this whole urea shortage, the death fluid and all of that stuff, though, I want to talk about the research that I've done anyway, and this is, you know, just a day or two's worth, but there is some concern about the rail crisis, basically, which I didn't even know was a thing until I actually started looking this stuff up, which is basically like the shipping ports, how they're all backed up and log jammed. So there is that could be an excuse for BlackRock or for Union Pacific and all that, not necessarily BlackRock. They're not the only ones involved in that. But so that could be part of the problem as well.
Sure.
But it just seems to me that because BlackRock and like in these notes that I took here, BlackRock, they're the chairman of, where is it? I don't remember where it was, but BlackRock controls the fertilizer industry and they are the major shareholder in Union Pacific. So they control all of that stuff. So there's a couple things to me, and I don't know, you know, I can go one way with a conspiracy theory and talk, and which I am happy to do, and talk about how BlackRock, because they have those ties with the government, that, you know, the people on the inside and all that, same as every other freaking corporation these days, it seems like, because they have those ties, they could be, and we talk about the intentionality of all this stuff all the time. So I could see BlackRock trying to make a profit because it, you know, they've done it before. They made a profit off the 2008 housing crisis. So I could see that, and who gets rich off the inflation? The rich people get richer from all this crap. So I could see that. I could see, because they're with the World Economic Forum, or they're going to the World Economic Forum more often these days. I can see that there is this global push for, you know, electric cars and clean energy and all that stuff. And the way that the Biden administration started off by shutting everything down, and then I don't think he planned on, you know, Putin helping him out with putting a monkey wrench in the whole system. But I can see how all of this stuff could be intentional. But at the same time, I can see how the rail crisis, or whatever they're calling it, how that could be causing it as well. But
I think it, again, people, we try to look, well, what BlackRock's doing. We got to this point because a bunch of people who are really into capitalism for a lot of years, oh no, companies should be able to do whatever the fuck a company wants. It's a company, right? Like, you know, and a lot of them are from the conservative side of the house. They're corporations. Corporations do whatever they want. They, you know, and so we're at this point, and I don't know, maybe it's the rail crisis. I think it's a little bit of all of the above. Does anybody think that if BlackRock looks at a crisis and says, hey, there's a way we can make money on this, that they would not find a way to make money? You know, I mean, we talked about the baby food shortage and Abbott having 40%+ of the baby food market, right? They had a monopoly. BlackRock is a monopoly. Facebook's a monopoly. Google's a monopoly. And our government is in bed with the monopolists.
Yeah, corporations.
Right? They again, it's an oligarchy. And the government is all tied in. They don't want to do anything. I mean, think about it, dude. Like I was catching some stuff this week on, remember a couple months back, Nancy Pelosi's like, yeah, we'll put a bill up to so we can stop congressional stock trading. So Congress people can't do the stock trading and make all the benefit like they're doing because they have the insider information.
Yeah.
Well, guess what? That bill hasn't even gone to a committee. It hasn't moved forward at all. And once they have the election, Congress resets. So literally, fucking Nancy Pelosi isn't doing shit about getting Congress people to stop doing insider trading and shit, letting them still go. I mean, she's number six on the list, right? The five before are Dan Crenshaw and some other Republicans in there. So they're not doing anything about that. And so what does that do? They want to prop these companies up because they're making money on them.
Yeah.
You know, when they get out of politics, let me go be a board member, all this shit. Yeah. It's terrible. It's, it's what makes me feel like we are heading for a cataclysm. We are heading for, again, I go back to the French Revolution all the time. The people of the world and the people of France, the people of the US got tired of their governments fucking with them. And, you know, the greatest technology, they said, of the French Revolution was the guillotine. They went around chopping the heads off all those people. If Black Hawk was around that back then, that dude was getting his head chopped off.
Yeah.
That's how the French Revolution worked, right? So I think we're heading towards something like that again, because they're all benefiting by this. And it's just, I mean, look at it now. No one gives two shits that everybody, the average person is suffering, is really struggling now. And watching people talk about $10 a gallon by the end of, by Labor Day.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, what is that going to do to the people? I mean, I'm not driving. Like, when I drive, it's like, let me line up everything I need to do. You know, go places. And you got people that are, you know, like having a tough time, like, oh, we just better put as much fuel as I need to get back and forth to work. It's terrible. And you got companies pushing people back into the office right now. So yeah, it's craziness.
Yeah. And that's kind of my point with all of this, regardless of which is true and which is not. And I don't think there will ever be enough information to say one way or another whether it's true or not. They're always going to, maybe it's they use that, the rail crisis, as their scapegoat to kind of pinch everything, make a little bit more money. I mean, corporations would never do that, right? And maybe they've got the people inside Washington and the right connections where they can actually do that, get away with it without, you know, catching a lot of heat for it. But regardless of why it is, the fact that it is could be a major issue. And I think that's what we need to pay attention to. We see all of this stuff with the fuel prices and all that. This is something that a lot of people don't think about. I didn't until you mentioned it the other day. And then Tiger sent me the email. Thank you, Tiger. And talking about his buddies in the trucking industry. It's something a lot of people don't think about. But it affects the farming, like I was talking about a few weeks ago with the fertilizer and stuff. It affects the farming. All the heavy equipment runs on diesel, so it affects those. Mm-hmm. It affects the food supply. It affects the truckers, all of that different stuff, which in turn all comes down to us, and it doesn't matter to these shitheads on top.
No, and here's the thing to think about farms, right? The big farms, that, and I don't mean like, you know, massive farms, but like fairly significant size farms of, you know, a few hundred acres. They buy their diesel in bulk at like the beginning of the year, right? They bulk up on that. They're DEF fluid. So right now, I think you have most farms are probably working off their stock that they had from before. You want to talk about seeing food increases and holes in the shelves? Wait till they have to refill their couple thousand, 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 gallons of diesel fuel.
Yeah.
Right. When they buy for the year, I mean, a lot of them are living off the fuel that they had from before all this started going super crazy. Wait till they have to restock that and then see what happens.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Like we're not looking good at all. You know, and it's trying not, you know, like, how do you not be the doom and gloomer? It's like, we're not looking good right now. If, you know, I called my dad 2 days ago and I was like, dude, if you don't have every hole in your cupboard shelves filled right now, you're wrong.
Yeah. It is literally to that point of, you know, because it's just going to get, it's just going to get more expensive as the months go along. Let me play this one clip I've got from this guy that works at Pilot, and then we'll move on to the next subject. But this is him talking about exactly what we talked about. And Tiger shared this with me, that Doug and Stacy something homesteading or something like that on YouTube, and talked about this too. And I looked this up and saw, and I watched the whole video of this dude, but I only got like a minute clip of him talking about how this is going to affect them, and by affecting them, it could affect the whole supply chain and all that. Let me play this real quick.
I would like to take this opportunity to take you through a few of the consequences that Union Pacific's mandate will have on the supply chain, the availability of fuel, and fuel prices. First, let me talk about the DEF supply chain. And just as a reminder, we supply about 30% of the DEF in the United States. The trucking sector is dependent on DEF. All trucks manufactured after 2010 cannot operate without DEF. And Pilot operates, if not the largest, one of the largest DEF supply networks in the country. We have 23 rail-served DEF facilities that make the DEF, and we have 18 rail transloaders. Of the 300 plus million gallons of DEF that Pilot supplies to the industry every year, 74% is moved via rail. Union Pacific's restrictions will prevent Pilot from keeping many markets adequately supplied with DEF, likely causing shortages that'll sideline trucks and reduce trucking capacity.
So he basically said a lot of the stuff that I had in my notes and a lot of stuff that it was in that email, but I wanted to make sure it wasn't one of those Alex Jones type situations, you know, with the stuff that's not real. But the fact is that it's something to pay attention to. I mean, as things go along, see if this becomes some sort of issue with the harvest. We're already seeing droughts in a lot of areas and all that stuff with the food shortages, with the trucking.
Back up a second, though. I think it's the wrong terminology. Instead of see if this stuff becomes an issue, see if it becomes a worse issue. Because it's already an issue. That's your normalcy bias right there kicking in. Well, it's already an issue and it's becoming worse again. And you know what? I kind of felt bad a little bit for about half a second when I was at Walmart and I grabbed my basket was full of DEF fluid. And I'm like, hey man, it's out in the news. If you're not stocking up, you're wrong right now.
Yeah. I don't feel bad when I do stuff like that.
What's that?
I don't feel bad when I do stuff like that because other people do.
Like I said, I did for about half a second. And then I'm like, dude, like what am I like? Oh, I'm going to get stuck somewhere because I was hoping that some other guy. Like toilet paper. Yeah. Think ahead.
Yeah. And what I meant was if what this guy is talking about comes to fruition, then it's going to get bad. It's definitely much worse, right? Yeah. If the federal agency, I forget what they're called, but if they don't step in and say something's got to be done by this, because it could be BlackRock going, hey, we're not profiting. We can profit more on that space, that limited space we have in these trains with other stuff rather than this fertilizer. So we're going to use that space to benefit the company. I mean, it could be something as simple as that.
Sure. And the fact, again, it comes back to it is, you know, it's why Biden's approval ratings are so low. You know, I mean, I was watching something earlier and there's report is that Biden's shocked that his approval ratings are lower than Trump's. And it's like, dude, and you know, again, it's because
he's drinking the Kool-Aid.
Well, everything he's doing right now is 100% in line with their narrative of, hey, we know they want to make people that drive gas powered vehicles hurt. They don't want to get off this stuff. So when you watch them talk about, no, we're like in line with their plan. They're finally coming off the stick a little bit about saying inflation. They were wrong on that. You know, when they said it was transitory.
Well, they don't have a choice anymore. Yeah.
Yeah. This is kind of like in transition, like that, you know, what's her name? Leah Thomas, the swimmer, the whatever swimmer that's swimming in female sports now, like we're transitioning about as fast as that swimmer is.
Yeah. But it's just one thing after a freaking another. It's like this DEF fluid thing, never even thought about it until a couple weeks ago. And all of a sudden it's like, great. You know, it's not bad enough we're having the droughts. It's not bad enough we've got inflation. It's not bad enough we've got the food shortages and all that. All of this stuff could combine, like we talked about a couple weeks ago, that complex disaster. All of this big pile of shit just combine and then just blow straight into the fan.
Well, like when I was talking to my father, so he's, you know, he's still in Los Angeles and he has a little tiny vacation home up in the mountains. And like, he's like, I'm thinking about maybe just selling my house and moving. As we got talking about the water, right? They're telling California farmers not to use as much water. The fuck do you think that's going to work out when it comes harvest time, right? You are right where the corn starts pretty much. Right? You're not far up in Denver. You're out in the outside of Denver. You're out in the flats. The fields start right around where you do or after the Rocky Mountains. And then it heads east and you got corn and wheat and all that shit forever. You just had a foot of snow 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
So any corn that had been planted in that area that got snowed was probably fucked.
Well, and zero moisture the month before. Zero rain, zero anything. Mm-hmm. And then a foot of snow. Yeah.
So when we talk about this stuff, like, okay, we know there's a popcorn shortage, except for Brandon, who's grown his own popcorn, which is pretty cool. You know, we know there's, we got problems with Russia and Ukraine with all the food they produce because there's a war going on. They're like, well, Russia might open up the port. Dude, their country's been bombed and wrecked and people are dead. Like, how efficient do you think that Ukraine's going to be at producing anything worth a shit coming up when it comes to farming and business? No, they have a wrecked country.
Yeah.
So you got those problems. You got India cutting off wheat exports. Like, and then you look down the line of the death fluid, and everything else, one thing after another. And every week there's another shortage. And it's, I have not seen the news, the mainstream media reports of saying, hey, they got plenty of this in stock. It's better. They're literally telling mothers it's going to be months before we get the baby food shortage under control. But yeah. They have no answers. So to expect them to have answers 2 months down the road, you know, it's interesting. I kind of look at this. This is like our, as far as prepper, especially for like, you know, us out in social media, like we've been prepping for the whole time to start ringing the bell right now, I think. Like before, when people like, oh, the end is near, this is happening, you know, Y2K, this is happening, that's happening. I think I've always called bullshit. This one, I don't know, man. I think if you're not prepping now and you're not taking this seriously, and I think most people that are watching the show and here watching are, but the people that aren't, I think there's going to be some really, really surprised people. And it's like, dude, just look at all the shortages and then look for the answers.
Yeah.
There aren't any.
Well, they're going to be surprised because they're paying attention to the mainstream media. They're paying attention to all this stuff that they'll briefly mention some crap about, you know, what's going on here. Watching the news, it's like watching some South American news or something when they're celebrating the fact that all this baby food, this baby formula is being flown in and it's finally here. You know, some third world country that we've turned into. And they celebrate that rather than bitching and screaming about why it happened in the first place.
Well, here's the thing about that. That is all such smoke and mirrors bullshit, too. They flew in 70,000 pounds. Maybe it was, let's say 70,000 tons, whatever it was. It wasn't. It's like the releasing oil from the national oil stockpile. It wasn't enough to move the needle. Right. And so, and they're out there doing the Heisman because now all their little supporters, oh yeah, look, Biden's doing everything he can.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. No, like, you know, and it was, I watched a report today and it was, or maybe it was yesterday. And this lady was talking about her son, I guess her son, a little baby, whatever. And who's on formula and needs special formula. Like it has problems unless it gets a special formula. And she talked to like the owner of whatever company it was. I don't know, was it Abbott, you know, whatever baby formula coming in. The owner's like, yeah, we're not getting it. So she's literally trying to figure out her kid who has really bad dietary restrictions, how they're going to feed it. And, you know, it's like if this was coronavirus, they'd have us locked down right now because of food shortages, really. You know, it like people are going to die from this.
Yeah.
Like people are going to die from these food shortages. And if you have food instability that causes unrest, people are going to die from that. And the words, like, we may experience a bunch of it here. We might experience a bunch of pain here. But, like, third world countries, African stuff, who don't, like, I mean, they don't have the food. They don't have the ability to make it, create it, whatever, in a lot of areas, who'd rely on international aid, they're fucked.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, like Tiger said in the chat, and I can't find his comment, but I'll paraphrase. He basically said, I'm tired of telling people. They don't listen, they don't listen. And I don't know exactly what he was talking about, but when you talk about the preparedness and you talk about even this BlackRock stuff and the World Economic Forum, even if you don't buy it 100%, you better listen because shit's happening. Shit's changing. And we need to pay attention to that crap. So
You could look at it and like, you know, on our side, we go down the conspiracy rabbit hole a little bit on stuff. And
I do.
Do I think any of this is conspiracy? Yeah, I think a bunch of it is. I don't think it's conspiracy. A bunch of it's fact. And then I think there's people that are profiting off the problems and there's people that do whatever they do for their own reasons. At the end of the day, and I talk about destruction and creation all the time, John Boyd's theory on that. Take it down to its root essence. Popcorn shortage, saltine cracker shortage, baby formula shortage, death fluid shortage, chip component shortage, 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 across the board. Take all the political bullshit, all the conspiracy aside. Let's assume that they're all doing the best they can. All right. No conspiracies involved. They're doing the best they can. Shortage, 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 shortage.
Yeah, yeah.
So either they're intentionally doing it or they're doing the best they can. Either way, we have not a bunch of shortages. We're not seeing things come back up. More shortages are happening. So if you look at the track record of what is currently happening and the velocity and direction in which we're headed, you should be prepared. Because right now, our velocity and direction is not up. We are heading down into the side of a mountain as a plane crash burning in. At some level. And plane crashes never work out well for most of the people in the plane.
Yeah. Hey, I want to talk about this freaking stupid gun rhetoric crap going on right now. But Brandon actually made a comment that's kind of interesting, and I'd never even thought about it. But he said, I'm telling you, if we can capitalize on the first pipeline bringing water from Canada or Alaska to California instead of oil, we'd laugh all the way to the bank. I'd never thought about that. But why the hell haven't they made a pipeline going to California? I mean, that just seems common sense.
No. They've been waiting. Because remember, they're not doing desalinization plants in California. Right? Why is that?
Expensive.
Because don't forget, like two or three years ago, I think it is, they made water a tradable commodity. You can buy water futures, like you can buy oil and all this other shit.
I remember that, yeah.
So Brandon may be very well right in that, right? They're just waiting until they can figure out so that they can make money off. If they start pumping water, if they start hooking up to the ocean, water isn't going to be worth shit.
Yeah, that's true.
Because it's the ocean, right? So Brandon may 100%. Again, if you think about the conspiracy side of the house and this is all created, well, there you go.
Yeah. And you know what? That's the way it is with all conspiracies, though. You got to ask the whys. And you have to question things. If you just fall hook, like in the seeker for the narrative, then you're going to get exactly what a lot of these people get, and you're going to get blindsided. But if you question things and ask the whys, and maybe you're wrong 70% of the time, but you're right every once in a while, and preppers are being proven time and time again recently that we've been right about a lot of stuff. So
yeah.
I don't know. Call it conspiracy theory, call it whatever you want, but I just think it's questioning things.
Some people call oil liquid gold. You want to talk about liquid gold? Watch what water, when scarcity of water makes people a profit off of the water because they buy, hey, I bought 100 barrels of water today. And literally that shit falls out of the sky. They're just the ones that are like running the pipeline, harvest, they're the ones that invested in it. Yeah. That's where we're heading.
Yeah.
Again, oligarchy.
Yeah. Hey, Kara said in the chat too, people act like it's all better. Let me find that. People act like it's all normal and things are going to get better very soon. That's our mentality in the United States because it's been that way our entire lives. Things get bad, things get better. Things get bad, things get better. Things aren't, it's always going to be okay. That's the mentality because we're the United States and the government's there to protect us and all that. When the shit does finally happen and we realize, hey, it is dependent on us, that we have to depend on ourselves, it's going to be a harsh reality for a lot of people.
Sure. And maybe this is part of the plan, if it's plan, right? Like if they make things so expensive, how many people, when they have the 100 million pissed off citizen protest in Washington, D.C. A year from now, how many people are going to be able to afford to go there?
Ride their bikes?
Yeah, like, hey, you and Lisa are probably well set to have a transportation company coming up in here in about 6 months because you got some horses. If you go out and buy yourself like some sort of covered wagon or some shit, Dale, man, you could be moving Def Fluid and charging a lot of money to get Def Fluid to stores.
Our horses are like 14 years old and lazy as hell, so I'd have to whip them into shape or something. But that kind of leads me to this next thing is this whole gun rhetoric and all that stuff, because if stuff does go down, this stuff needs to happen. And I've got a few different clips on this that I want to play that are just absolutely ridiculous. You got the chicks on The View, and I'm not going to play one of their clips because I'm not going to let Whoopi Goldberg on this show. Not happening. Not any of those old hags. Dude,
I saw that clip of her earlier. Oh my God.
Her hee-haw guns comment.
Oh, I don't remember what it was. All I just know is my blood pressure went up real quick.
Yeah. But that's with all of these people. And I've got one of Joe Biden and one of Trudeau. And I mean, just all of this stuff that's going on. And it's really disingenuous. And it really pisses me off because we spent, a day and a half talking about finding solutions for the school shootings and stuff, protecting the schools. And everything has been gone. Nobody cares anymore. Now it's all about guns. Now it's all about the gun narrative. Instead of that being part of the conversation, that is the conversation.
Yeah, because now the story, well, no, because the shooting thing keeps changing. Still has changed. Now it wasn't the teacher didn't leave the door open.
Yeah.
They got the video of the teacher closing the door. So I don't know how the kid got in through that. And the police department down there, apparently, at least the police chief. I've heard the police department. I've heard just the police chief. So I'm not sure which. But on some level, they've stopped cooperating with the investigation.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I mean, if you don't want to fuel some conspiracy theories, like, oh my gosh, talk about fuel, you know, like, I mean, here you go. But yeah, the gun thing, it's. Yeah, everybody's running scared. Again, it's like, oh, we need to protect you from you. And I'm sorry. No, I need to protect myself. We need to protect ourselves from an overbearing government. That's what the Second Amendment was all about. You know, you could own a cannon. Like, I'm sorry. And I'm pretty sure you can still get a cannon day. I don't think there's anything against the law from going out and buying. You can go buy one of those little cannons. Now, I don't quote me on that. Don't go buy a cannon, blow yourself up, shoot a little mini cannonball through your neighbor's house and then go, Duff said. So I'm speaking out my ass on that. But no, it, of course it's, and dude, they're trying to reel back in his thing that he said about the 9mm. No, he wants to grab all our guns. Because the thing between them doing whatever the hell they want, and which they already are, and us, and not doing what they want, is our guns. And I find it, is it a coincidence that the day he says that, the week he says that's the week that knucklehead up to the on the northern side of our north border comes out with his gun, where they're going to basically mandatory buyback and ban handguns?
Yeah.
He says it the same week?
I wonder if both that was an
email from the, what's that?
I've got both of those clips because, yeah, it's almost like who's going to go first, you, me or you, Joe, is kind of how it was.
And it's weird that the week that those both come out is the same week the World Economic Forum's meeting.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Right.
For anybody that hasn't heard that, which is probably like two people listening right now, I'm going to play this. The audio in this clip is, I don't know what's going on in the background, but it's really hard. There's a lot of crap going on. I didn't have time to fix it, but let me play this real quick. What he said about 9mm and all that stuff.
And they showed me a x-ray. He said a 22 caliber bullet will lodge in a lung, and we can probably get it out, may be able to get it and save the life. A 9mm bullet blows the lung out of the body. So the idea of these high caliber weapons is simply no rational basis for it. In terms of about self-protection, hunting, remember, the Constitution, the Second Amendment, was never absolute.
They showed me this expert, and then he talks about there's no rational explanation for 9mm, you know, for self-defense and all that, and the Second Amendment is not absolute. I mean, all in one little soundbite. I just blow the lungs out. That's why I put on this tweet. Blows the lungs out of your body, a 9mm. I think you're muted. It's absolutely insane.
Well, and he's running his narrative. I mean, remember who Joe Biden is. He was the youngest senator at the time ever elected to the Senate. The guy's been in public office for over 50 years. He's never done anything. He's never had to learn any of this shit. This guy's gone around and had his dick sucked everywhere he's gone because he's been a senator for his entire life.
Yeah.
Right? And to say that the Second Amendment isn't absolute, like, oh, okay, so then you're saying none of the Bill of Rights is absolute. Go fuck yourself. Right? And a 22, I worked as a paramedic for a lot of years. I've seen a lot of x-rays of bullet wounds, and a 22 is one of the most deadly rounds because it bounces the fuck around and it turns to shrapnel when it hits the bone. And it's really pain in the ass to deal with a 22. People get shot in the foot with a 22. The thing comes out their shoulder. You never know that thing's going because it's such a light and really high velocity round. You know, and I love when these liberals, why do you need a gun? Because I need to protect myself and I need the biggest, best gun I can get. And I need lots of them to protect myself from the criminals that you're not protecting us from the school shooters that you're not protecting us from everything that you're not protecting us from. And I don't think, you know, we should rely on the government's protection, but the fact is we don't even need to have that discussion because they're not doing it.
Yeah.
You know,
it's all these idiots talking about all this shit that they know nothing about. It's like learning, trying to have a carpenter teach you how to bake a cake or something. They have, if you're going to talk about all this stuff and you're going to do this stuff, learn about it first, at least, so you know what the hell you're talking about. All of this reminded me of a really old clip that, of something that really will, blow your lungs out of your body. Let me play this. You've probably seen this before, but all of his talk reminded me of this clip. And this is the Gregory Brothers. It's just hilarious.
I have two shotguns in my home.
That'll blow the lungs out of your body.
They're locked in a safe. There's a metal gun case. We live in an area that's wooded, somewhat secluded. And I said, Jill, if there's ever a problem, just walk out on the balcony and fire two blasts outside the house.
Buy shotgun,
you don't need machine gun, you don't need 30 rounds.
Buy a double barrel shotgun. No, you don't need a flamethrower, and you don't need a tank. You don't need an AR-15 to scare those thugs away. No, and I don't need a grenade launcher. I don't need an F-15. There's just one thing I need to do, and they'll stay away from me.
Fire two blasts.
Anyway, that video is hilarious. I remember when I first saw that. But that's what it reminded me of when Joe Biden was talking about 9mm going to blow your lungs out of your body. I was like, what are you talking about? And if he's going to ban all that, does that mean his, you know, the Secret Service who probably use 9mm?
No, of course not. Of course not, dude. That's a rhetorical question, right? So, no, it's the same old driveling narrative. The problem that they have right now is people don't feel safe anymore. And every time they open their yap about guns, people go out and buy as many guns as possible. I don't need anything else and all that stuff. So it's like, I haven't looked at the market lately, but I can only imagine it's going nuts and you still probably can't get ammo. Oh, actually, when I was in Walmart, there was no ammo on the shelves, but then again, I don't know. Walmart's about half commie these days too. So maybe they're not selling ammo.
Yeah, could be.
Yeah. So anyway, but there was no ammo on the shelves and, you know, more and more people, they're just making it harder on themselves. And, you know, it's like Canada's going to try do this thing where when they ban the sale, transfer, importation of handguns, that they're going to do a mandatory buyback.
Yeah.
You know, I am not calling for violence and I hope everybody gets the trucker protest on and goes and shows up in their thing and shut that fucking country down.
Yeah.
Otherwise, that's the face of evil right there. That little motherfucker with his little pointy ass, little French fucking whatever nose. I'm trying to be nice.
Didn't he just say a little while ago too that there's been this shift towards totalitarian regimes and we should be concerned about that? And meanwhile, let me play this clip. Meanwhile, he's doing this crap. This is a little bit quiet, so I'll have to fix the audio in the podcast, but everybody watching the video, just kind of turn your stuff up or something.
We're introducing legislation to implement a national freeze on handgun ownership. What this means is that it will no longer be possible to buy, sell, transfer, or import handguns anywhere in Canada. In other words,
you're
tapping the market for handguns.
And then you surround yourself with a bunch of idiots that are going to clap with regardless what you say. But I guarantee you, in Canada, it's a whole lot easier to do that. I don't know what the laws in Canada anyway as far as guns are concerned, but I guarantee you it's a whole lot easier to do that out here than it would be here. Let them try that shit here. Well, that's all I have to say about that.
Wait. Back up. Because we were sitting here about 2 months back going, well, I wish America would do something like the truckers protest in Canada. They actually locked their capital down, right? The Canadian truckers all got together and shut their capital down. And when they started arresting them, they started towing their trucks. They started shutting off bank accounts. They stuck it out for a good long time. So I don't know that Canada, I hope we would not roll over. I mean,
well, I'm not talking about the people in Canada. I'm talking about the laws in place in Canada make it a whole lot easier to do that stuff than here. The people in Canada, no, they're tougher than hell. So,
well, I think it comes down to do the people put up with it?
Yeah.
At some point, a government does enough shit where people have been fed up with it, and they say no more. Right? Whether that's voting people out. I mean, don't forget, Justin Trudeau keeps getting voted in. His shitty party keeps getting, you know, running the show and doing all their shit. So, you know, like the whole thing is elections.
I think it was his father in the 70s, too, that pulled the same shit with the guns.
His father was a straight up commie. His father probably blew George Soros out behind the public library when they were kids. So, it's we the people that have to stop this bullshit.
Yeah.
You know, it's like them going after guns. Oh, look. Hey, everybody feels fucking terrible about these kids getting killed. You know, down in Uvalde.
Not the politicians.
And then you got that fucking flip flop of a president we have. And I mean, flip flop. He's about as smart as a pair of fucking flip flops. Coming out saying he's not for hardening schools. Well, go fuck yourself again. Right. Like, I'm sorry. Everything they do is it has an angle. It's not, they don't give two fucks about those kids.
Yeah.
When those kids got slaughtered, they're probably fucking high fiving and do all their shit as they're, you know, have their slaughtering their goat and worshiping Satan or whatever the fuck they're doing up there with their crazy shit. And I don't really believe they're a bunch of Satan worshipers. I just do that shit and be crazy.
Oh, I thought you were going to go, but I agree with you because it's when something like this happens, it's an opportunity for them and they all seized on it. It like clockwork they did. So, and I know it to some people, this probably sounds like a quote unquote conspiracy theory and all that, but when you have all of these DAs and all of these gun laws that are already in place and you have these people being able to get out, that is for the, in my opinion, that is for the sole purpose of making sure this shit continues to happen. And then once it does, then they can push this crap. We've got all the shit going on in Chicago and in these big cities. Not a word about any of that crap, but because they've already got those strict gun laws and all that stuff. But when something like this happens, you know, you get the strengthening schools and hardening those soft targets for about a day and a half, like I said. And then all of them straight to the gun topic because that's what they wanted. Beto O'Rourke is the freaking worst. He might as well be on The View with all those other hags. That dude, talk about flip flop. One day he's okay with you having an AR-15. The next day you're gonna take it.
Nah, he's just a nut job.
He's an idiot. He's
straight up nut job.
Yeah.
But yeah. No. I hope, you know, as we go farther down this rabbit hole. They're talking about red flag laws, and I like the concept of a red flag law is great. But does anybody? It was like when I was thinking about the whole thing we talked about, you know, capital punishment last week. I don't trust my government to get it right. Does anybody trust the government won't be used that to weaponize them?
Have they
ever? The IRS has been used to go after conservatives, right? Like, I mean, one thing after another. Why the fuck would I trust them? When somebody can just say whatever they want and they can manipulate the law to use it. Oh, we're going to take your guns. Now we're going to go get your guns. Ah, we're going to do this. And you know what's really cool? You get to take all your political opposition and lock them up for being crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
The
government uses this crap. That's why I'm against the whole or have my reservations about government-run healthcare, because they take something and incrementally just screw it up, and that's what they would do. It's an incremental dismantling of the Second Amendment, doing whatever they can. So I don't trust them to do a damn thing.
No, and the problem is we shouldn't have to worry about trusting our federal government, not because they should do right. That would be ultimately that's what we would hope. But this is not. They all want to talk about constitutionalists. You know, I mean. I understand why Biden says Second Amendment isn't absolute, because they don't give a fuck about the Constitution, because the Constitution called for a small central government that was just there to do the things that the states couldn't handle on their own. We don't have that. We got this. And they warned about this, about having a strong centralized government, because that was called a king back in the day. Right. So we're not following the Constitution. We're not following what the founders want. So it doesn't surprise me that they want to get our guns. I just hope when they really make a concerted effort to come here, come for them, that everybody goes to D.C. and makes their displeasure known and gets their protest done.
Yeah, yeah. Speaking of the founding fathers knowing what the hell they were talking about, I saw this in the Washington Post. And I read most of this article. I couldn't make it all the way through because the Washington Post is like the print version of CNN these days. It's ridiculous. But this article titled "How the Second Amendment Was Reinterpreted to Protect Individual Rights."
Bless her heart.
What's that?
Bless her heart.
Yeah, it absolutely freaking ridiculous. And she talks about in this article how the Second Amendment. Let me get this this paragraph right here. The Second Amendment. Historians say that the notion of the amendment protects people's rights to have guns for self-defense is a relatively recent reading of the Constitution, born out of the conservative push of the 80s and 90s. Now, I'll read the next paragraph for a second, but I just want to address that real quick. A conservative push around the 80s and 90s. I think the whole reason there was this conservative push in the 80s and 90s is because right around the 70s or so is really when they started to ramp up the "we're going to take your shit" argument. So I think it's ridiculous. What are your thoughts on that? And then I'll talk about this next paragraph, which is absolutely more ridiculous.
You don't need to ask my thoughts on this, man. Come on, you know what my thoughts are going to be. Like, dude, they're rewriting history as they go, right? They're doing. Have you ever like read the history according to, I think it's Howard Zinn, like basically just rewrote history. Like, no, this is what really happened, and that's all they're doing. They're pushing out there. It's like you literally have people running around now because of what Biden said, that you couldn't own a cannon back in the Revolution. Didn't mean you could own a cannon. Yes, it did.
Yeah. Sure it did. You say it enough times, it becomes the truth.
Yeah, that's all they're doing. They're rewriting history. They're educating with their bullshit. They're educating their little school of woke, commie, whatever the fuck these people are. Their false narrative. Now, when they all hang out in L.A., they're sitting in L.A. and they're sitting in their little diner paying $100 for lunch while a homeless person's taking a shit around the corner from them. They can have a conversation about gun rights and go, yeah, do you know that stuff just changed in the 80s or 90s? That the conservatives really changed the meaning of that? As opposed to like, hey, Betsy, why don't you go pull up the second amendment and read it?
Yeah, yeah.
Think any of those commies have ever read the Constitution? Like, and here's a good one. How many people out there, there's a video going around, and we should show it one of these, that talks through the actual history of the Star Spangled Banner, of the national anthem. Like, what was happening on the day it was written and why it was everything that was said, and like the facts that go behind, like what was the big deal about the flag being up, right? Because the Brits were trying to shoot the flag down. If they could take the flag down, it was a big deal. They're going to win and all this stuff. And Francis Scott Key was out on the boat trying to do this, the prisoner exchange. And then in the morning they see the flag when they say, oh, can you see, when they talk about the flag, that's the prisoners were down the hole of the ship asking, is our flag still up? These were all prisoners of war. And that the next day, when that flag was still standing in the morning, the flagpole was leaning. Bodies were piled up on the base of that flagpole to make that flagpole hold up.
Yeah.
Because the defenders of the fort knew if the flag fell down, it was a bad day. And they died keeping that flag up. So that's when you read the song, understand that's like actually a historical reference guide to what happened in that battle.
Yeah. But everything gets rewritten and rethought 100%. And all that. Rethinking, like I think it was the World Economic Forum, rethinking free speech, shit like that. In this article here, it says the historical consensus is that for most of American history, the amendment was understood to concern the use of guns in connection with militia service. The founding fathers were likely focused on keeping state militias from being disarmed. So basically what they're saying in this article was the founding fathers wanted to make sure the government was able to have guns. Right. They just spent 2 years fighting a tyrannical government, but they wanted to make sure that militias and military and the government could have guns. Didn't have anything to do with the individual person. It's ridiculous how they
and what they never talk about is it's not. And why we talk about protecting ourselves and we talk about protecting ourselves against crime, that's like the micro level. The right to keep and bear arms was meant to protect us from a tyrannical government.
Yeah,
that's how the first shot of the American Revolution happened, because they were the redcoats, the British were going to take guns from the people. They're going to go confiscate their guns. And that's how the revolution started. We started on the Second Amendment.
Yeah, right? I forget what town that was, but that was the shot heard Concord. Around the world, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so again, it comes back. They keep talking about, you know, like all this, you don't need to protect us. Why do you need military arms? Because that's what the military has. That's what the cops have. And if a tyrannical government ever enacts itself and comes after Joe Biden, I hope I can protect Joe Biden. Like, I want to protect everybody from a tyrannical government. And I say Joe Biden because I think he's going to be the one that's doing it.
I need to get that soundbite.
Yeah, go ahead. Take that soundbite. No, it's true, though. I mean, we as Americans, it's the Japanese didn't invade because we all have weapons. You know, to think that we won't be in Ukraine's position one day is idiotic. And knowing that if some fucking foreign army comes rolling down the streets of Denver, right, and out into your area, that you can have a shot at defending yourself like the Ukrainians are doing. I mean, we know, like, I don't care for what we're doing in Ukraine. And the Ukrainian people are, dude, like, they're given a major world power. They're being a huge pain in that world power's ass right now.
Yeah.
Like, nothing about how this has gone is going the way that Russia thought. And the majority of it, even though a lot of it has to do with weapon systems and all that we're sending over there, is the Ukrainian people are going out and fighting fucking tank divisions.
Yeah, the resolve, like, is crazy.
Dude, I mean, their towns are getting destroyed. So why do I want guns? Ukraine. That's all you need to say. Whoopee, Ukraine.
Yeah. Well, and the fact that our government gives a shit more about Ukraine than it does about you and I. So,
yeah, that's right.
It's insane that people that have this argument that you've got blood on your hands, or you, how can you argue for the Second Amendment and all that, fail to see the other aspect of it. That's why when we always talk about, you know, fixing the problems, the mental health issues, all of these different things, all of those solutions that could actually help fix this problem. The inner cities, if all the crime in Chicago and Detroit, all these inner cities that are really bad, if that was solved, you know how much that alone would decrease the number of gun crimes?
And who do we have to blame for the problems in the major inner cities? Democrats.
Yeah.
Right? The establishment that has pushed all that stuff. So, yeah, no. And, you know, one of the things they're talking about, and I think it's probably going to be the thing that they pass, if they pass any of it, is that they're going to restrict the ability of people to buy guns since you're 21. But yeah. Think about the insanity of that. Like, I'm all for that. You want to stop people from buying guns since they're 21? Fine. Go ahead. Don't treat them as an adult till they're 21. Then don't allow them to join the military, but they need people dumb enough and young enough to sign up to go fight their illegal conflicts. Again, when was the last declared war, World War II?
Yeah.
And how many conflicts have we had? How many Americans have died around the world for illegal conflicts and lies? They need people to fuel that. They're not going to change that. Like, they're not going to change it because it fucks with them too much, but they'll just stop those. Here, you can go in the army. Here's your gun. Oh, yeah, you can't have a beer, but here's your gun. You can go become a cop. Here's your gun. But you can't own a gun to protect your family? Mm-mm, sorry.
18-year-old kids are a lot more impressionable than a 21-year-old kid. You'll go out and be an adult for a few years, and it kind of, life has a way of hardening you up a little bit. So, yeah, be a lot harder to, you know, mold into what you want.
And 18-year-old boys, come on, man. I don't know about you, dude. I was a knucklehead at 18. I was doing all kinds of shit to get myself in trouble. I got lucky I didn't end up in prison or dead.
Yeah.
Right? So, like, you can make an argument for that. Like, hey, the majority of mass shooters are under 21 years old. Right? Doing crazy shit. Okay. All right. You want to raise it? But you can't stop this fucking around where you're going to do something that benefits you in some way, but you're going to take advantage of them. No, in for a penny, in for a pound.
Yeah. Well, and all these media outlets and all that, that's what drives me nuts with all of this stuff. When you know exactly where the politicians are going to go and everybody jumps on board with it instead of, you know, fix the problems, you know, mm-hmm. hold them accountable for the shit that's already been done. The laws that are already on the books that aren't being upheld. The DAs that are letting these, because of racial issues and all that, letting these people out. You can't have too harsh of sentences because it disproportionately affects one race or the other. So you've got to let those people out, but make it harder.
It comes back to
if you get have a gun crime, make it get punished, like massively punished.
Well, and the problem is, though, like, again, they write the laws to suit their needs. And, you know, the disproportionate thing on race. Well, that's because crime's committed disproportionately. You have the disproportionate amount of crime is being caused in inner cities. Why is there a lot of crime in those inner cities?
Economics.
Because the Democrats and the liberals and the way they've run the inner cities has set up the circumstances for there to be increased crime.
That dependency on government.
No other options. When I worked in Atlanta, when I was a paramedic in Atlanta, I hated working on the North End because that's where all the rich white people were. I loved working on the South Side. It's where all the poor black people, or the majority of poor black people were. And you know what? I loved working in that community more. It was like people appreciated you more. And you know what? You could go for block after block after block and not see a business. Getting a job there is a really difficult thing. Right. And so, and so there's these problems that the Democrats running these cities. And when I say Democrats, I do mean Democrats, but I also mean the establishment running our inner cities, our cities, has created this problem.
Yeah. You
know? And they're not doing anything about it. So what do we expect?
Well, and they're, it's super easy. They're easy voters because who are those people going to vote for? They're not going to vote for Republicans because the Republicans don't want to give them anything. It's almost like, hey, we hate the Democrats, but what are we going to do? Because they've created these, or they haven't helped these economic issues to the point where they have to.
My understanding, and people fact check me on this, is the major shift for blacks to the Democratic Party happened in the Civil War, or not in the Civil War, happened in, I think, the 20s or 30s. And it happened over like a really short period. And it's when the Democrats figured out, hey, let's offer people free shit. And we'll give them the vote for us. And remember, they voted that switch to happen to the Democrats back then. And the Democrats were still treating blacks and minorities like shit. Right? Yeah. All the way up through the Civil Rights Act in 64. And even after that, I mean, it's just been the way it is. People talk about, oh, you Republicans are evil. And I'm not a Republican, not you. Okay. And at the same time, they talk about like what happened with the Civil War and all that. Right. And we can have the argument about states' rights and all that. I'll show you some documents people can read. But at the end of the day, the people pushing slavery were Democrats. 100% Democrats. You know who was fighting against slavery? What was Lincoln? Republicans. So this that's our history that they're trying to hide from and trying to act like they're we had the hoods didn't become the hood. In Donald Trump's era, no, it's been through year after generation after generation of Democrat.
It goes back to the same thing with the gun laws and the same thing with immigration and all that. There's no incentive to fix it because they're getting exactly what they want with the system working the way that it is. So there is no incentive to, they can throw a couple bills out that makes it easier for kids in inner cities to go to college and stuff like that. And, you know, right around election time, say the right things, do the right things. But after that, it's the same damn shit.
I think if you look at the numbers, there are more and more people voting conservative, right? I think there's a shift heading towards that. And I think that a lot of that's happening in minority groups. Like they're seeing it. They're seeing what's happened. And I hate on Trump on a lot of things. And at the same time, record in like the unemployment for minority groups was at its all-time lowest, right? And like the financial stuff was at its greatest. So when you look back on things, now granted, we've been heading down the financial shitter, right? For years. It started way before Trump. It started before Obama. I don't think we ever even, I think we're still dealing with the Bush stuff and the Clinton stuff. So this has been in the making. Nobody's done anything about it. And it still doesn't change the fact of the statistics that were around in the Trump administration. And I think people are going, I think you have a lot of those people now going, wait a minute. Like it wasn't like that guy that they said that, because remember Trump, right? Trump was huge in the media before he became president. I mean, he was really huge when he was president, but they all loved him. They wrote rap songs about that guy. You know, The Apprentice, all the liberals
they did,
loved him.
Yeah.
Right up until he became president. So they got spoon-fed all this bad shit about Trump. Oh, yeah, Trump's terrible. And I think a lot of them are looking back at it now. Wait a minute.
Yeah.
What did we really get?
Racist. And what did Trump?
Well, and what did Trump say during the campaign? What have you got to lose? Vote for a Democrat or vote for me. What have you got to lose? You've been voting for Democrats. Where has it gotten you? I think more and more you're seeing people realize that. And hopefully that's the path to them realizing that the entire establishment, Republicans and Democrats, are out to fuck them.
Yeah. Tiger said in the chat, Trump was a rich, pompous ass, but he was a good president. I think he did some good things. I think there was a lot left on the table for me that kind of, he said he was going to do a whole bunch of shit and didn't. The one thing that was, what's that? Yeah.
You know what?
The one thing he did kind of do, and you saw a lot of pushback on, was the whole build the wall thing. That was the first time in as long as I can remember that an actual politician addressed the southern border, whether it was rhetoric and a good catchphrase or whatever it was. That was the first time. Usually, like right now, all these politicians just ignore it, like it doesn't exist, like that problem's not there, and that's because that benefits them too. So there were some good things he did. Yeah. There were some things that really pissed me off about him, though.
If you put a scale out right now and you put Biden on one side and Trump on the other side, and it was a scale of where did you have a better time? It's going to go hands down to Trump. And I think, you know, when they're talking about like this big, you know, the Republican wave in November, I think they're going to have to ride off. I mean, think about what happened when Jimmy Carter got out of office. You got 12 years of Republicans. I think they're setting themselves up, you know, probably for that same possible thing to happen again.
I don't remember that, because all I remember is my mom bitching about him. And then some of the stuff I learned later on in life about how terrible he actually was. But I don't remember the.
No, man. My first political memories are of a little bit of Nixon when he was getting bounced for Watergate. I remember that because I remember it was like it was just nonstop. What the fuck? Kind of like what we got going on now. And then Ford got in there and everybody's like, oh, this guy kind of sucks.
Yeah.
And then Carter got in there and everybody's like, oh, I wish we could go back to Ford.
Yeah. I remember I was at Outdoor Lab in sixth grade and Reagan got elected, or maybe that was the second term. I can't remember, but at least he was interesting. You got the Contra shit going on and all over North. And, everybody that thinks he's all clean and shiny and polishy and all that, there was some shit going on in the Reagan years too.
Yeah. I mean, that's when we started the drug epidemic and then our inner cities. So
yeah. Don't say, or say no to drugs. Was that Nancy's thing?
Yeah. Nancy was out telling us to say no to drugs and Ronnie's out working the CIA to pump drugs in for people to say no to.
Yeah.
I mean, hey, we talked about that, right? Like, hey, don't let a good crisis go to waste. But what did we say the last time? Like, well, how about create the crisis that you don't let go to waste?
Yeah.
Ronnie creates it. Nancy does it. And here's the problem. We're still fighting that same drug war today. Right. Like how much money are we're spending on this drug war when we're not fighting the drug? We're fighting against weed and shit like that. But are we doing anything for fentanyl?
Yeah.
Nah.
Well,
nothing.
And that kind of goes into the same gun argument, too, because there's so many drugs all over the place. You got this open sieve of a southern border letting all that crap in. So it's a pointless battle. With guns, I think it would be the same damn thing. You start banning all this stuff, you start making all this shit illegal, that shit's still going to come through the southern border, and the criminals and all of those people are still going to have exactly what they want to have.
So what do you think about this on the conspiracy side of the house? All right, so you remember Fast and Furious?
Yeah, what's his name?
Yeah, Holder. So Fast and Furious was them running guns. Now, the interesting thing with Fast and Furious, was the U.S. government running guns into Mexico to the cartels that the cartels would then use to come across the border. And they were saying, well, we're just tracking to see what they do. No, you're setting up the thing so the government comes, the cartels come across and they shoot. Brian Terry, I think his name was, the Border Patrol agent that got killed. And then they found that was one of those guns. About 2 months before this whole thing broke, Fast and Furious, I remember Holder, there was a news clip of him being down at the border talking about, yeah, we need to really start looking at these border states because people are like, they were basically accusing the gun stores and the border states of funneling guns into Mexico. And then all of a sudden, oh, wow, there's this huge Mexican gun problem. Oh, go find out that it was Fast and Furious and the government set the whole fucking thing up.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So Now you go flash forward to Uvalde, and I'm not saying there's any conspiracy. I'm not saying that this kid didn't come up with the money, but I know at least one of those rifles was a Daniel Defense. And that's a $2,000+ rifle. And people are like, where did this kid with his broke ass mom being hooked on drugs and having this life, and his grandfather says he didn't get him, where did this kid get all his money to go shoot up a school kind of stuff? So, I don't know. I think it's interesting that you had Fast and Furious on the board, a government conspiracy to do with guns on the border, and a move to try to hammer gun rights. And then all of a sudden that now we're at this thing where this, you know, I hope on the surface it's a crazy kid that did what he did, but you're looking at it, and like, so far there has not been one consistent answer that's come out of this investigation.
Yeah.
No one could talk about where this kid got his money. I mean,
yeah, I hesitate to go there because of how big this situation is, but I can't help but wonder. There's a lot of little parts there that really, I mean, who knows? He could have got a credit card. Somebody could have gave him a credit card for 10 grand or something like that. I mean, I don't know, but sure seems.
I hope on the surface, as tragic as it is, I hope it is what it is. But man, the farther it goes down when you got the police, and I understand if the police chief fucked up and he knows he screwed up, right? Well, I wouldn't cooperate. What's the point of cooperating? They're literally looking at putting you in jail for this possibly. I'm like, okay, I get it. Remain silent. He said that out throughout his career. But if the whole department shut down, it just fuels more and more of this stuff. I mean, we go to which conspiracy hasn't really been.
Yeah.
You know, Go ahead.
Didn't they put that Parkland dude in jail? That cop that just kind of hid in the bushes or whatever.
I don't think he ever did any jail time, man. I don't think he ever did any jail time.
Okay.
I could be wrong on that. I could be wrong on that. But I mean, look at all these conspiracies that have happened. I mean, you go back to Waco. I mean, when I first got my prepper sort of where it really, hey, I'm a prepper, was back when it was, I'm a survivalist, right? In the early 90s. And dude, that was Randy Weaver went down. That's right around the time the Branch Davidians went down. We look at all the conspiracy. We go back to our government's been trying to hide. They still don't want to release the Kennedy assassination stuff. Why? Are you afraid of implicating the mob? No, you're afraid of implicating yourself. You got Pfizer during the pandemic coming out, they got all the fight going over vaccines, and then Pfizer's trying to hide the results of their vaccine trials for 75 years. So why would I trust any of this stuff? And now, like you said, I hope it's not true, and I don't want to spread a conspiracy theory, but you haven't given us any answers at all for this school shooting. Nothing. Yeah. And everything you said has been a lie, mostly, that's been proven over and over again. Oh, that's another lie. That's another lie. Like a lie to cover up the lie.
Yeah.
Why the fuck wouldn't we think that there's some conspiracy going on?
I still have questions about that whole Vegas thing, that shooting that happened in Vegas when he barricaded himself in the room. And not because there's any facts that, you know, that core that go into a story, but the fact that it really seems like it just got swept under the rug. Like, we're not saying shit about this, and it just went away. So,
and I have acquaintances who are very familiar with some stuff that happened there, and I know that all the facts of the case haven't been put out, and I think, and the stuff that I know, I think they're full of shit. I think there's more to it. Ultimately, what I think it is that guy was a Muslim. His wife was from Philippines. He took a trip over there, and they just didn't want to broadcast that shit.
Yeah.
Right. Like, so again, it's like, you know, and so
because of xenophobia and trying, all that.
Got to have a narrative. How do we blame all these gun toting conservatives that believe in the red, white and blue? If every time something happens, that they point out that they are right.
Yeah. And, you know, people that think that, oh, the government has changed, they've proven time and time again that they will do shit like this. They've done it over and over again. And the fact that just because we kind of feel like, oh, they wouldn't do that stuff now, they do the same shit. They just have different ways of doing it. So
how about it's documented that Jack Ruby and Charles Manson both went for two government mind control experiments? Is that a weird coincidence?
I don't know. Yeah. Hey, did you hear that they let Hinckley out of jail?
Did they?
I think it was Hinckley. Yeah. They acquitted him. Or not acquitted him, but they figured, I guess they said time served or something. I was like,
that was the guy who shot President Reagan.
Back Reagan, in the day. Yeah. I think it was John Hinckley, right?
Yeah, John Hinckley. Yeah, he was the one that had like the thing for Jodie Foster.
Yeah, huh? Yeah. So I just thought that was interesting. I mean, he's been in there for a while, but I heard somebody saying, you know, anybody that would have done that, you know, just to a normal person wouldn't spend that much time in there. I'm like, he's the freaking president of the United States. Keep that, you know, the dude tried to assassinate the president. Keep his ass in jail.
And at the end, he tried to take somebody's life. Like you should do. Yeah, that's worth some jail time. Like you openly just tried to, even if the president was just a dude. Like the guy just showed up on the street and tried to shoot him, you know? I guess Hinckley is just really unfortunate that he didn't have like a Gascon out in LA as his district attorney. That dude would have been out in 2 days and like $1.50 in jail bail. And he'd have been good. You know, like, yeah. Hey, just take off. You're good.
Yeah. It's, I got no faith. So when it comes to conspiracy theories, I'm hesitant. I don't buy in. I'm not some sort of QAnon bullshit like that. I'm hesitant, and I want to look at the kind of research it as much as I can. But at the same time, there's a lot of nobody talking about it, a lot of cover up and all that. So sometimes there just isn't. Those facts are not there to be pulled up. So you do have to kind of question stuff.
You know, you look at the Q stuff, and I have a buddy who's like really into looking at Q and going down the rabbit hole, and they've used AI, and they're pretty sure they figured out like the two or three people back in 4chan and 8chan that got it all going. And there wouldn't be anything to get going if the government didn't give them any ammunition to come up with shit. It's like, it's not like everything Q, I mean, come on, Epstein happened. There's documented cases of these super elites that have pedophile rings going around the world. So was Q wrong saying that the world elite has a pedophile, that they're a bunch of pedophiles? I don't think so. Right. So they give them all, you give them all this, like, here's some real stuff that they can point to. It's psyop shit, right? If you give a person enough stuff where they can validate, yeah, it's 100% right. It makes you easy to, oh, just slide this little tidbit in there, right? Let's get this going. And then the problem comes back to be our government does the just evil shit that it gives everybody the ability to point to. I can point to Randy Weaver and said, the FBI shot a woman, unarmed woman who was holding a baby in her arms and killed her. Yeah. I can point to the Branch Davidian compound and say, hey, the local sheriff said we can go get the guy you want. And they said, no, we're going to go in there and raid him. And then we'll just burn the whole place down with a bunch of people in it.
Yeah. Like, I think the Q shit is a combination of like astrology and the Nostradamus effect, where you make it so cryptic and you leave it so open-ended that you're bound to get something right. Or when something does come true, you can shape, you know, shit around it. So, yeah. But at the same time, it starts with something that's real and then it gets blown up. So,
well, the initial thing where they said, wow, he had this super high level Q clearance. A Q clearance is a real clearance. It's Department of Energy decided to do their own thing. A Q clearance in the Department of Energy is equal to a top secret clearance in the other, in other departments. It's a top secret clearance, and top secret clearance isn't hard to get. You got to go through a background. I had top secret for a bunch of years. It's a pain in the ass, but yeah. You know how much top secret shit I ever saw? Nothing.
Yeah.
And so this whole Q thing, there was truth to it. Yes. This Q is it's a high clearance and all that. And Department of Energy, it is, but it's not like that. It was some super high secret level and this guy had all this shit. So again, they feed that information. This is true. And then, it makes it easier to buy the rest of the bullshit.
Yeah. I keep seeing my name pop up in the chat. I think Brandon's in there talking shit. and Lisa's in there now, too. Where's that one? Brandon, I just want a chicken in my pot and a septic tank that works. # Dale-isms.
Yeah, well, you need that septic tank if you have that chicken in your pot.
Hey, it cost me an arm and a leg, but I got a septic tank that works. And if I wanted a chicken in the pot, I got a few outside just waiting for me. So, and I think Lisa's going to get a few more too, because the ones we have aren't producing. They're going to be in that pot pretty soon. So,
hey, you might want to save those. That might be those might be worth a lot of money here in about 3 months.
I need to get a rooster. That's my, because we're not allowed to have roosters with the stupid HOA we have out here, which is ridiculous. There's like three rules, but one of them is you can't have roosters because they're louder than hell. So my SHTF plan is to be able to get a rooster, and that way you start breeding and, you know, making more and all that stuff. But I got to wait until, you know, everything goes to crap before that happens.
Well, I mean, I'm surprised your HOA hasn't complained already, because they already got a loud cock in your neighborhood.
Jesus. Yeah. You know, whenever I see you pause, it's almost like I can see the wheels fucking turning in your head. I should know better and move on. But the HOA doesn't like cocks. I don't know. Bunch of lesbians. And
Dale does.
Anyway. All right. Well, this kind of went off the rails. I think with that, we're kind of done tonight. I did have a couple other things, and we'll put them off. I did want to talk about this. We mentioned it last week in the show, the Green Social Credit Score, the World Economic Forum, and Alibaba and China's doing. I want to go into that a little bit. I've done some stuff with my garden. I want to talk about that on Sunday, some things. I've basically deer-proofed it. The last couple of days, I've been putting shit up. So I want to show and talk about some of that stuff. But I appreciate everyone. This was a fun show. A lot of different stuff, and then at the end we just kind of bullshitted about how bad the government sucks and conspiracies and all that, but it was a fun show.
Well, I mean, hey, it comes back to, like, again, we've talked about it a few times, man. Back when you were doing your show, when you first started doing your podcast, and then I was started doing my podcast, that was 2015 when I started, you know, it was fun, and like, I'm just, you know, we would always it's not, don't get overworked by this, you know, whatever this and that. And now it's like, oh yeah, you probably should be getting overworked, you know, getting a little fired up right now. And I don't mean fired up bad, fired up, like have a purpose to your preparedness. Oh, I like that. Preparedness with a purpose.
Yeah. Hey, Kara said in the chat, Elisa, if you're still there, write this down. She said, some breeds of roosters are quiet. We have silkies. You can't even hear them from the house. That's nice. Good to know. I'm sure at least I already wrote that down anyway, but all right, everyone, I appreciate it. With that, I think we are out of here today. Unless you have anything else, you got one more thought, man, or no?
Sure. I'm looking, we'll see everybody Sunday.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, everyone, thanks for joining today, and we'll talk to you all later.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Survival Preppers. Be sure to subscribe on your favorite podcasting platform so you never miss an episode. And don't forget to join us on YouTube for our weekly live shows. For more information or to connect with Duff and Dale, visit thesurvivalpreppers.com or thebugoutlocation.com for members-only content and prepping courses. See everyone next time.